here's Darren Dreger, a hockey insider. Dregs, do you get that, you know, I guess, viewpoint here with Marner? Is obviously it's about dollars and cents. It's a business, but it's ultimately just about respect. That's why he wants what Matthews got paid, because he wants to be treated equally.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a small part of that. And, you know, maybe that's not just Mitch. That's, you know, those around Marner to some degree. But I don't think that that's a heavy motivator. I think that he just wants to experience and go through what he's earned. And that's the leverage of being a restricted free agent. And, you know, the only way that there is leverage is if you go into the interview period and you're willing to visit with teams and you're willing to attract and potentially sign the offer sheet. Otherwise, it's just a wasted experience. But before it ever gets to that point, I expect the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to have to table an offer here in the next number of days before June 26th. And then you see where it goes. You know, as we've talked about on the program before, you know, and if we're minimizing it here to respect, I don't think that Mitch Marner is going to be too bent if the Toronto Maple Leafs come in at $11 million, as an example, maybe even 10.5, right? I mean, he realizes that if the salary cap is below 82, which we now think it's going to be 82 or 81.5, I mean, three men probably can't win the Stanley Cup on their own. So he can't control what happened with Matthews. He can't control what happened with Tavares or Nylander. He can only control his own environment. He wants to be treated fairly. If he's going to draw a line in the sand, 11-5, then that might force the Toronto Maple Leafs' hand, but I don't know that he's willing to do that.
With Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, I saw you on, I think it was That's Hockey last night, from beautiful Brooklyn, Ontario.
Yeah.
And I loved the way you phrased it, because Gino asked you about this salary cap stuff, and you stopped short and you said, I'm not even going to get into the minutiae here because we're going to lose viewers, because it's such a heavy, complex scenario. But the end of the gist of it is they don't even know what the cap is yet, and the draft is in 48 hours. How frustrated are GMs throughout the league?
Yeah, super sour, especially those who are worried about it, the cap teams, right? Like the Toronto Maple Leafs, like Kyle Dubas. I mean, I can appreciate why the Players Association and the NHL have to go to these lengths. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the Players Association, whether or not they use the full inflator. There's enough revenue, I'm told, in the system where the cap could be at $85 million, but a higher cap means a higher escrow, right? Because there's higher risk. A lower cap means lower escrow, and the membership of the Players Association is always going to vote in favor of a lower escrow, even though it does take money out of the system. But if you're a cap general manager, again, like Dubas or any of them, you're hamstrung here. You know, there's not a whole lot you can do, and that $500,000 sway one way or another is significant. It matters because it determines the type of player that you're potentially willing to trade. You know, could it be a lower end guy versus a guy that, you know, maybe you have to consider because he's a higher cap hit. So the business side of hockey is being stalled as the managers are waiting, and the decision may not come down until Saturday.
With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider. So Jesse Puljujärvi now wants out of Edmonton. Yeah. And I think there'll be a market based on potential and the fourth overall pick and talent that we've seen in the past, but he hasn't established himself at all in the National Hockey League.
Well, so, and
what happens here?
That's the problem, right? You know, if you were dealing with face value and you're talking about the fourth pick overall and just something had gone awry, you know, there'd be a strong market for him. I think there's interest. I think that there's a market, but it's probably not palatable for Ken Holland. You know, he doesn't want to give a mid-round or take a mid-round draft pick for Jesse Puljujärvi. So there's a waiting game. There's a game of chicken that could be played here. And the message that I'm getting from the Puljujärvi camp is that, hey, if he has to play in Europe, he has to play in the Finnish League, or he has to play in the KHL for a year, 2 years, 3 years, he's willing to do that. He's only 21. He just needs and wants a fresh start. So now the ball is going to be in the court of Ken Holland. You know, does he just deal with it now, the flexibility in the system, and just move out a disgruntled player, or does he wait? And he's probably going to wait. He's probably going to wait because, again, you know, what happens if Jesse Puljujärvi does go to the KHL or goes to the Finnish League and gets his game in order and lights it up, and now all of a sudden you know, a third round pick turns into a low first or a second or a better prospect. I mean, you know, Kenny Holland can't allow Jesse Puljujärvi and Marcus Leto, the agent here, to control the process.
I agree. Dregs, do you sense it? Is this year, and I know every year leading up to the draft, there seems to be some chaos, there seems to be a lot of chatter. Is it any different this year? It seems, and I'm going to go back to Kevin Cheveldayoff's comments saying he's never heard from more managers and never had more chatter with managers than this year. Do you sense that?
Yeah, I do, Noodles. It's red alert. Now, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a flurry of deals here. Again, we've talked about the salary cap, and you know a lot of these teams are stalled on that as they're waiting. But there are other teams that are waiting and looking at it as opportunistic as well. I look at the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, Jim Benning wants to make a splash, not because the draft is in Vancouver, but because he needs to improve his hockey club. You know, he wants to add a defenseman or two. He wants to add some scoring. He's willing to consider moving the 10th overall pick either up or down, but I'm sure he's hoping that, you know, if the salary cap is lower than what some teams are expecting, maybe there's a play of desperation where he all of a sudden has a better option, a better player pop onto the market. And then you've got those teams that are willing to absorb cap space, like Ottawa, like Arizona, to some degree, like the Carolina Hurricanes. So I think that is as much to do with the volume of trade discussion than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a matter of time before it I mean, the salary cap demands it. Sometimes you got to get rid of players that you don't really want to get rid of.
Yeah.
Just because
yeah.
of the money. Like, you got to pick your poison. They've been doing it in the NFL forever. You see trades all the time where you're like, how could they trade that guy? Because they got to pay someone else.
Right.
Like, it's that easy, and it's difficult for fans to accept, but that's the reality in a hard cap.
Yeah. Well, and look, I had a conversation on Winnipeg TSN radio earlier today wondering about Neil Pionk and how he's going to fit into that group. And, you know, the projection that he could be an NHL top four defenseman. Well, he could be, but what's that Winnipeg blue line going to look like? And we don't, I mean, I know that it doesn't include Jake Chubra, but what if it doesn't include Tyler Myers? And it probably won't. Because, you know, again, the Carlson deal has influence. Even though it's not a similar position, the Kevin Hayes $50 million deal has influence. Now, all of a sudden, Jake Gardner is going to have 7 years, $7 million per year. He's going to get a $50 million deal as an unrestricted free agent. And Tyler Myers is probably in that vicinity in Winnipeg as well. And then where does Ben Chiarot fit in? So it's all intertwined. And, you know, you look at that Winnipeg blue line, when it was healthy this past year and playing well, it was comparable to just about every blue line in the NHL. It's not going to be the same next year.
No, it won't be. All right, Dregs, enjoy it out there. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider.